We live in a strange cultural period in our time because for easily 100 years, arguably quite a bit more than that, our culture has required and demanded a certain level of Christian morality. Arguably, without the same level of Christian faithfulness, but certainly Christian morality. In other words, it's been possible for many years in America to be a, you know, sort of a white-collar, button-down, respectable person in public, as long as you sort of kept your sin under wraps. That was all okay. Nobody was going to challenge you for a long time, for easily the last 30 years. Very few churches practice what's called church discipline, where the church will actually throw you out for certain levels of sin, certain things, unrepentant sin, I should say. You could do just about anything because we do believe that we are forgiven by Christ on the cross and accepted by grace, but we also believe that this requires a certain level of life transformation. And when we refuse to be transformed, when we notice sin in our lives and we refuse to deal with it or do something about it, then the church for a long time in the West has said, well, then you don't really belong here. But over the last several years, we kind of stopped doing that, and we let people pretty much get away with whatever they wanted as long as they looked nice on the outside. But, of course, when these things happen, eventually sin becomes normalized. We begin to accept it, and that's where our culture is now. The reason I'm talking about this and what made me think of this altogether was all the news I've been seeing lately about the new Beauty and the Beast movie. You know, there's apparently a scene, from what I've read, I haven't seen the movie, but there's a scene where a man may have certain attraction toward another man, and this has resulted in protests by Christians and demanding that this be changed, and I can understand that. I'm a little hesitant when I think about it because my daughter recently told me that she wanted to see the movie. She had heard that this movie was coming out. Of course, it's Beauty and the Beast, and she's a little girl, and why in the world wouldn't she want to go see it? She knows the story. She's seen it on the wide screen in a number of different versions, and she's probably read several books, all with the same essential story. And so here's a new version. Why wouldn't she want to see it? I get that. And so, you know, we'll see. I don't know. But here's the thing. I know, beyond a shadow of a doubt, that she is going to, as she gets older, encounter several people whose sexuality is not the sexuality that I would necessarily say is God-given, is not the way God designs our sexuality. That's the way I like to explain it. God has designed and created us. He has designed and created our sexuality, which is a good and beautiful thing given to us to live out under his direction and within the confines of the way he designed creation, the way he designed us. And we don't really live in a culture that has that value anymore. So it gets complicated, you know. We're watching Arrow right now. My daughter and my son and I are watching that show. And in it, there is a scene where two women, it's not graphic, but it's clear that there is a romantic relationship between two women. Now, that surprised me, I will grant you. And when that happened, my daughter was shocked and asked me what in the heck was happening, to which I had to explain to her, you know, well, this is the situation that we live in. Not everybody believes that God has designed this for us, and not everybody uses it in a way that honors God. And so it brought about that conversation. It's a conversation that's going to have to happen. But what we want, I think, within our churches is we want to demand that the culture outside reflect the values that we have. In part, I think that's because we long to keep our children safe. We long to have them grow up in a world where the same things we teach them to value are valued. That's not the world we live in. It's just not. I mean, we can try to make it so. We should try to make it so. I believe that we are called to shape our culture, but we obviously haven't, because our culture is now shaped the way that it is. So what do we do? How do we handle that? How do we raise children, especially? I mean, that's really important. We raise children. The calls for boycotting Disney, you know, speak of Disney is trying to slip this agenda into our children's minds and hearts, to which I'd wholeheartedly agree. I think they are. I think that is happening. The only question is it just Disney, or is it every aspect of the world around us? So what do we do? Do we shelter them? Do we hide them from it? Or do we teach them the reality that we live in a world that God made to be one way, but people and sin and self-direction have shaped to be another? I think it's a prime opportunity, really, for us, if we will take it, rather than positioning ourselves as culture warriors, rather than taking up a stance of warfare against specific sins. By the way, let me remind you that, you know, a good chunk of the demographic that would probably boycott Beauty and the Beast because it seeks to glorify a homosexual character staunchly defended a serial adulterer who speaks vilely of women, and they vehemently defended this person for the highest political position in our land. Now, I'm not saying anything other than we can't have it both ways. It seems to be a little inconsistent for me that we would want to take a position of power, a position of authority, even if that meant linking arms with a person who is clearly, in his history, not godly. Can I say that? Reflects no godly characteristics. But when Disney, which is historically a family values sort of oriented entertainment powerhouse, begins to undermine what we believe, then we take a position of power against them. I just see great inconsistency. And here's what I think it boils down to. I think what Christians, what people in the church need to develop in our hearts first, then in our homes, our families, and in our churches, what we need to begin to develop is an understanding that we live in a world that is not right, that every authority, every entertainment outlet is seeking something from us, and God demands our full devotion. He demands all of our hearts. I think before we can begin to boycott Disney, and I don't know whether I'll see the movie, I don't know whether I'll let her see it, that's beside the point. I think before we take a position of power, before we take up arms, what we need to do is look into our own hearts. Where have we compromised? In what areas have we chosen to take the easy route? In what areas would we really rather our children live in a safe environment, safe being defined by absent of sin? And in what areas would we really like for them to love Jesus Christ regardless of their environment? The early church thrived. I mean, it exploded. It really grew quickly in an environment that was deeply broken. The culture of ancient Rome glorified illicit sex in a way that would shock most viewers of Game of Thrones. And yet the church grew. So I think we don't need to be threatened as a church by these developments in our society necessarily. What we need to do is teach our own hearts and our own families to love Jesus Christ. This happens in the church. This happens through worship. This happens through daily decision making that puts God before our own desires for whatever we might want, whether that's stuff or power or money or safety. What we've got to do is make the decisions every single day to lay down what we want for the sake of Jesus Christ and what he wants. We need to focus less on being culture warriors and focus a little more on being lovers of Jesus Christ. This is essential for the future development of the church and the future development of Christian people.